All right. What's up, you dirtbags? We have got a massive, massive episode today. As you've noticed, we have been cranking out some just great, great episodes. I've really sat down and thought through, like, who do we want to have on the show? Where do I think we can add value to you guys listening? And how can we really ramp it up towards the end of the year? As always, if you guys love the show, if you're listening, if you've got any value, if you could just hit pause right now, go rate our show on whatever platform you're listening on. Spotify, we're up to 67 five-star reviews. That helps a ton. And so we're starting to show up in other people's feeds, and people are starting to find us that are in the construction industry. So if you could just hit pause and go do that, that would be a huge, huge help. And also, if you're on YouTube watching, you can subscribe, like, leave a comment, all that stuff. So it helps the show a ton, and it really helps monetize what we're doing. So some other notes. Obviously, we made a couple big announcements the last few weeks. We're going to be also reimagining our Dirtbags University. I want to talk to a few more of you guys and see what the best way to do that is. And so keep your eyes peeled for that. I believe the format we're going to go with is kind of more of an open concept than before. If any of you listening haven't been to one, it used to be a closed off paid webinar where you'd pay to come listen to a speaker. We'd have a Q&A session, and it was just a great, great time. But what we realized is we've had a lot of listeners come a lot later, and that content is nowhere to be found. So when Will Schuler has an incredible hour and a half masterclass, that content is gone forever. And so we're trying to reimagine it in a way that it's more accessible for everyone. So excited to talk to you guys more about that. I think, you know, we'll have a few of you on here and kind of reimagine what that looks like. But from that, we've got also some new segments coming up too. So stay tuned for those. And now, obviously, I'm sporting the brand. We are matching today. I'm so stoked, bringing in one of my great friends, a client of ours, somebody that I look up to that's perfect for this show, for this episode, Mr. Hunter Eisenbath. How are we doing, brother?
Let's get after it, my man.
Dude, absolutely fired up for this. We were talking a little bit before this, and I can't thank you enough for being on the show. For anyone that doesn't follow Hunter or doesn't know who he is yet, at Eisenbath Landscapes on Instagram. Incredible Instagram. The stories are always top notch. It's cool to see you give us like an inside look into the company and how you're continuously growing, but how, you know, there's real life struggles every single day, just like all of us. So thank you for coming on the show. So excited to hear more about, you know, how Eisenbath Landscapes got started. But if you don't mind just kind of giving that quick intro of yourself, and then let's dive into like the origin history of the business.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate the introduction. My name is Hunter Eisenbath. I run a design build landscape company in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm a young contractor. I'm 26. I think I started Eisenbath Landscapes in 2021. And so here we are. Yeah.
Dude, so 2021, I mean, to be fair, you look like, you know,
it might have been 2020, but I'm not too sure on it. But either way.
So you'd have been like 22, 23, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think I was 22 when I started.
Gotcha. And had you always, when you started, did you think it would be what it is today? And not saying you're a multi-billion dollar corporation or anything, but like,
not.
did you think like this is how it would be panning out currently?
I mean, I've always dreamed of, you know, whether that would be in school, you know, studying, you know, horticulture or whatever. I always dreamed of being in the spot I am now. But now being where we are at, you know, my vision is, you know, now casted into the future. And what I see, you know, 10 years from now, where I want to be. But no, I mean, I never really dreamed of being where we are today. And now taking a step back and looking, of, you know, how far we have come. It's pretty crazy and awesome at the same time to being able to dream about, you know, the position I am in now and being able to look back on how far we've come, yet we still have so many more miles to track.
Yeah, dude, I feel the same exact way, and it, very similar. You know, we started in 2019. I went full time with Phaser in 2021, and I have so much appreciation for just like, yeah, the grind and the journey. But it doesn't mean that you're not grinding and going through a journey right now either. And you know, like you said, it's our goals just get so much bigger, and that's the exciting thing. But I do personally think that being able to look back and appreciate, like, man, these are once my dreams, and that's pretty cool. Being able to appreciate that for a little bit is important, I think, just so you're not always shifting the artificial goalposts back of like, oh man, one day, one day, one day. But I think what you do such a great job of is appreciating that, but then saying like, there's still a lot more work to do. This is awesome, but let's impact more lives here.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a I get, you know, caught up on, you know, not being present in the moment, not, you know, stepping back and taking a look to see, you know, what we've done, what we've accomplished in, you know, 3, 4 years. And you know, you get so caught up as a driven business owner to be so far in the future that you don't even know where your own 2 feet stand.
Yeah.
It's so important to have gratitude, to be able to look back at, you know, what you've already been through and what you're, you know, where you're at in business.
Absolutely. And I think, to be fair, I think you don't give yourself enough credit for that, which is good, right? And I've seen it. So for people listening, you know, you and I started working together. I believe it was January, beginning of the year, or maybe end of last year is when we started, you know, building the website, working on your strategy. You sent me a Snapchat the other day, and I took a screenshot and sent it to our team because I just think you taking the time to say this means a lot to me, and it means a lot to our team, but it shows that you're also like taking a second. So, you took a picture and you're like, been cruising from job to job all year. Business has been crazy this year. Never dreamed we'd get to be where we are right now. Got a long way to go. Just wanted to give you a big thank you to you and your team. Like, of course, I sent that to our team because a lot of times I get the recognition. It's like, oh yeah, Luke, you're the best. Your company's awesome, all this. But like, our team is doing the work. So I wanted to say thank you for sending that over, but also to kind of chime in on the conversation of, it is pretty cool to see you also realizing being in the present and seeing like where you guys are going and appreciating it.
Yeah, I think the first time I heard of Phaser was I was listening to a synced up podcast, Weston Zimmerman,
Love
and
it.
you were on, I think, Weston's show, and I remember driving down the road and you were talking about marketing and what you guys do, I think, or whatever, and you just seemed like the high energy marketing guy that I could connect with, and you were just, you knew what you were talking about, and I could feel the energy through the podcast. And I think as soon as that podcast ended, I might have even ended it a little bit shorter. I think I called you and was like,
Yeah.
dude, I just listened to your podcast on, you know, the Cost of Doing Business show. And I was like, let's just sign up and let's just get started. I've already heard of you through the podcast. It was awesome.
That it was, I remember that 'cause it was probably one of the easiest closes, like 'cause I didn't know you yet, and but you had just listened to the show, and you're like, dude, I'm in. Like, I kind of know what it costs because I talked about that, and I love the energy. I see this working. And the more podcasts we do, and the more obviously dirtbags we talk about, and more podcasts that are getting put out there, it just helps build that of like, you know, we're trying to attract the right people. And I was telling you this before we started the show. When I met you, I was like, okay, there's no doubt that this guy is going to succeed. And especially like when we can plug in our stuff and you're doing 80% of everything else, it's like, this guy's going to make it. And, you know, let's just continue building that team of like, yes, we are a small sliver of like your digital marketing team, but now you're continuously building out the rest of your team. So, I appreciate that, dude. It was, you know, it's always fun to even look back on those days. Like we've come so far as a business too. Like we didn't know much of what we were doing last year, the year before, and the year before that, but every single year we're continuing to grow and become better. So,
right.
I want to focus on the business now, Eisenbath Landscapes. Like how did it start? Where did it start? And where did that really originate from?
Yeah, dude. So I'm excited about this. So I grew up, my dad, kind of started this whole thing. And my dad, I mean, he is, as you know, most of everybody's dads, they're their freaking role model. They're their superhero. I am like my dad is my freaking superhero. I would die for that dude in a split second. He has done so much for me and my business, man. And not only me, but my family. I mean, he is just such a great dude. But anyway, he owns a lawn maintenance company in St. Charles, and he started that company about 25 years ago after his dad had sold a paper route business over in Alton, Illinois. He needed to find a new gig because he was planning on taking over that. Long story short, he started a lawn maintenance company about 25 years ago. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger as the years went on. And now he's up to his neck in it. He runs about six crew. He runs six crews daily. They mow 500 counts a week.
Oh my gosh.
They do hedge trimming, you know, all the maintenance work. They do aeration, overseeding, fertilization. They do it all. And he has done so much for me and my family, man. I just have to give everything that, you know, he has done for me. You know, I want to give him that, you know, shout out or whatever. But man, he's just done so much for me and my family and put me, you know, kind of in the position I am today. I remember, well, let's back up a little bit. So I always had dreams of kind of taking over the lawn care business, and I knew I wanted to, you know, kind of do what my dad did. And we kind of sat down and had that conversation one day, and he was like, well, if you're looking to, you know, take over the family business, you need to go to college and get a degree. So I went to Mizzou and I got a degree in horticulture and plant design. And as much as I hated going to school, I graduated. I think I remember the first test I took in college, I got like a 45% on. I called dad and I was like, man, I think I got to drop out, just come home and work. He's like, no, you're sticking it out and you're going to finish school. So anyway, I graduated college. While I was up in college, I worked for one of the biggest design build companies in Missouri. It's called Rost Incorporated. They run an unbelievable operation. They're also a huge role model and a business that I would like to, you know, lead in the direction that they have. Per se. They run a really good operation up there. But anyway, I graduated from Mizzou. I came home and basically started up. So I think I graduated in December. So I graduated in the wintertime.
Yep.
And I remember packing up all my things and being like, well, this is it. You know, I'm going to work for myself. I didn't get a 9-to-5 job or nothing like that out of school. It was all or nothing. And I had nothing to my name, man, literally absolutely nothing. I came home. I think I printed out a few flyers online and just knocking on doors and throwing a flyer everywhere, man. You know,
wow. Do you remember how much money you had like coming out?
I can tell you this, the first job that I landed, it was a small retaining wall project here in town, and I didn't have enough money to cover the material cost on the project. My dad had to pay for the materials.
Oh, that's
It
hilarious.
was a crazy ordeal, but anyway, that's kind of how the story of how everything started, and here we are.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, and shout out to your dad. That's really cool that you guys have such a good relationship and also like business-wise too. I think so my dad, yeah, he didn't really was never really involved in any business until he was in his 50s. And now he's doing his own thing, and him and I talk business now all the time, and it's really a cool, I would say like a bonding element where if you can talk business with your dad and you can talk about like what it takes to get to that level, it's really cool. Like you can spend a lot of time doing that. So, I might be kind of jumping the gun here, but I know you're getting married. Congratulations coming up
Yes,
here,
sir.
and shout out to Lexi. For putting up
Yeah.
with you. When, let me know if this is too far out there, but when you have kids and they grow up, if you have kids, of course, God willing, and what type of things would you want to teach them in business, in life? Like, are there any lessons that you want to put forth that maybe you learned from your parents?
So I've gotten asked that question before, and it's something I think about because I do want to have kids. I love kids, man. Absolutely love them. I got a nephew and a niece, and just love them. But the one thing that I picked up from my dad growing up is my dad never really taught me anything. And I say that is because he showed me things. He showed me how to get up early and put your work boots on, strap up for the day, and just get after it. Yeah, obviously my dad taught me things, but it was more or less he never forced anything down my throat. He just showed me, man, what it was like to be a man, to, raise a family, and also, take care of business at the same time,
Yeah.
and all that. So he was more of a shower, not a teacher kind of deal, and I yeah,
Yeah, I
that's
mean,
what I
you got to walk the walk, right? And that's the best way is just to live it, to live these habits, to treat people the way you want to be treated, to, obviously respect your spouse, like the way you love your wife. Your kids see that. And
absolutely.
the way, yeah, like you said, the way you strap up in the morning, you get to work, and the way you take care of those customers and those people, it just I remember early on when I was young, my dad taught me, how to shake somebody's hand correctly. And I was very young, and that stuck with me. It's just like, look them in the eye, have a firm grip, and make it count, basically. And one other thing that just popped in my head, he would always also make me check into my dentist appointments. And I hated that. Like I had to do it by myself. I'd have to go, he'd say, he'd walk in with me. And I was super young, and I'm like, "Can you check me in, Dad?" And he's like, "Nope, go tell him your name and why you're here." And I'm like, it was just the worst thing ever, but it helped me learn. And it sounds trivial now, but it's like, man, what a great lesson learned. Because then in the future, then I started to see like 21-year-olds and their parents would call in their dentist appointment still. I'm like, okay, I can see how that could, be a detriment if they don't learn these skills.
Yeah, but no, now I remember as a young kid, man, is dad's 61 today, and he still is out there working with his guys in the field. And I remember being a young kid, and it'd be, hot as hell, 'cause this gets humid as hell in Missouri.
Yeah.
And I remember, being young and dad coming home from a day of work, and he'd just strip off all his clothes. And let, because we had a tile floor back in mom and dad's old house, and he would strip all his clothes and just lay back down on the tile floor in the kitchen because he's just so worn out and beat.
Oh,
But
man.
seeing him like that and seeing him run, his business his way has also taught me a lot of things and, how I want to run my business and set it up to where I can really enjoy. Not that he does not enjoy life, man. My dad lives it to the fullest, but set it up in a way to where, I can be home at 5 o'clock, or I can, swing by home at 1:30 in the afternoon because I've set my business up in a way that allows me to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want my business to control me and control, what I do, I want to be able to have the freedom to, take a break or, be able to come home at 5 o'clock in the evening for a dinner with my family. And that's something that, my dad wasn't ever really around, when it's, working season. I mean, he probably still doesn't get home until 7:30, but that's just the way he was raised, and I think that's just part of his generation, man, is they're just some complete dogs.
Yeah,
And
absolutely, dude.
it's crazy.
And I love that too. And I want to dive into that even a little bit further. So, you are very similar as far as your business to a lot of our listeners. So let's say a landscaping company, a hardscaping company, an excavation company, and septic companies. Like, we have a lot of these listeners that do all of these. So in your company, because you've obviously been thinking about this, like, what does that look like? How do you control your business so that it doesn't control you? How do you get home? Let's say, let's just use an example as like next year in 12 months. How are you able to get home at 5 o'clock on a consistent basis without having to continue being pulled away?
So dive into that a little bit more for me. So
Yeah.
what are you trying to say?
Absolutely. So basically, how do you build this business so that it isn't all on you and you don't have to stay till 6:37, or if something goes wrong, you have to get pulled away from your dinner with your family?
Yeah.
How, because probably a lot of people listening are curious on that, as like, okay, it sounds good, but what systems do you implement? Do you hire people? Is
Right.
there, how do you build it in a way that you're able to step away?
Right. And I don't want to make this sound like I have everything figured out because trust me, I
Right.
don't. We're
Yeah. And
just getting started.
that's why I use the example of, like, let's say in 12 months, how do you continue to build it so that potentially it looks like that, where you can, shut her down at 5 o'clock
Right.
consistently?
Man, it's being a good leader. It's putting people in the right position, being really freaking good at delegating and getting to the job site. I every day when we get to the job site, I'm there with my guys and I am going over every task that needs to be done, in order. We need to get this done before we do this or whatnot. So being really good at delegating. And then number two is, in 12 months, I would love to say that I would have hired a designer to help me out, a
Gotcha.
designer slash sales guy to kind of help me on the, sales aspects of things. I love sales. I love selling projects. I love designing projects. That's not my favorite thing to do. My favorite thing to do is being in the field, with my guys, getting dirty with them, getting in the trenches. But I'm still at the point now where I wear a lot of hats every single day. I'm in the field with my guys. I am going to meetings. I'm coming home working on project or working on
Yeah.
designs and stuff like that. But it's putting guys in the right position, putting the trust in your guys that they're going to be there. They're going to be working, getting things done for you and you getting off of that job site. Like I said, putting your trust in your guys. You cannot be in the field if you want to keep your guys busy.
Yeah.
There's people to talk to, there's jobs to sell. I've got other things to do. So it's like I said, it's just putting trust in your guys, forcing yourself out of the field. It's a mindset thing, man. I remember That was part of my thing going into this year was really focusing on getting out of the field. And it basically just started of me like, on a smaller project, I would, break away for a couple hours, go get lunch or go work on something on your laptop in your truck for a couple hours and come back and check on them. So it's a slow moving thing. And gradually over the year, I've gotten a lot better at it. I mean, I can set my guys off in the morning and not see them until the next day, and I know they're doing good. If I have a question or anything, I'm a call away,
And that's huge too. I was actually with Doug Castles. We took a trip out to New York a couple weeks ago, and with BlackRock Excavating, and it was funny. We were on site with him, and he had his guys out working. And Doug, of course, jumped in the machine, was doing a bunch of work, jumped out, and it was at a residential property, so the homeowner was there. And then he kind of got out of the rig, came over to Connor and I, and said, "All right, let's go get lunch." And we're like, "All right, sweet." And then we got in the truck and we went to lunch while the guys were still working. And he said, "Something to remember is that the owner's time becomes more valuable the less that they're there." And so, and the way he was saying it was for like the customer's perspective of like, if the customer sees you there 8 hours a day, they can pull you every which direction at any time. But when you're only there periodically, their questions become a lot more important and they're thought through a little bit more, and they respect your time a bit more. And so I thought that was a very interesting way to say it and to do it, but it also kind of adds in too. With your team, it shows that you trust them. They can get it done. Somebody needs to step up and be the leader here. And, but it also just helps you grow, and it helps you remove yourself and let go of let go of the reins so that people can run your business and it's not all just you.
100%. And I think it gains a trust of your employees too, like you're saying. They're gonna respect you a lot more if you're not, looking over their neck every single second of the day. When I tell my guys too, I'm like, if you guys ever think that I am hovering over you or, knick-knacking everything, I always tell them like, look at me and just tell me to leave, because I would hate to work for a boss that does that to me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would just be terrible. So I tell them that all the time, and they'll look at me on certain times, and they'll just be like, just go.
Oh, dude, I love it. And I know on your guys' shirts, so obviously you wear a lot of hats. You said a lot of sweet hats, like the one you've got on and I've got on. You sent me an orange shirt on the back. It says "Get her done." Tell
That's our
me,
motto.
I mean, I love it. I see it on all your stories and everything. So you said it's your motto, and you guys are just living by that.
Absolutely. Get her done.
Man.
I had one that said work harder too, and some of the guys still wear them. I'm a big Cameron Haynes guy. I don't know if you know who that is, but Cameron Haynes is like this ultra marathon runner, and his motto, and he's also a big time bow hunter. His motto has always been, nobody cares, work harder.
Hell
And it's
yeah.
just stuck with me ever since I started following him on Instagram. And it's so true, man. It's just like, nobody gives a shit. Obviously people care what you're going through, but nobody cares about your problems, about what you're dealing with that day. Just do your thing and work harder, man, and things will pan out. People got their own lives, people got their own problems to deal with. Nobody's concerned about your problems. Just deal with them as they come. Like we were talking, before the podcast started, life's gonna happen no matter what. Just wake up, face the day, lace up your boots, and go to work, man. And I can't stand people that are gonna complain and all that good stuff. So it's just our motto, get her done or work harder. Either one goes with us. So
Man, I love it. And also too, you can tell it bleeds into other areas of your life, not just being on site, not just business, but you love the gym. and you work very hard physically. And so I always think about it, like whenever I see your stories, like it pumps me up. I'm like, all right, I gotta get off the couch and get in the gym. Otherwise, like I feel like you're almost yelling at me. And so, but seriously though, I love it. And we've started like, snapping each other like on Fridays or Monday mornings or whatever day it is, and just like bringing a little bit of that juice to your day and just saying like, hey, let's get after it today. Let's make this like an incredible day. And that is in the conversations you're having, that's in the gym, and that is at your business as well, of course. And so I want to hear a little bit more from you. Like, I guess we can go into this even more here, but when did you start getting into the gym? Like, when did that become a big piece of your life? And then how has that helped or hurt like you as a business owner?
Yeah, it definitely hurts my joints a little bit, but
Yeah, there you go.
no, I've always been a pretty active guy. I've always been in the gym, man, really my whole life, ever since I went to high school. I've always been in the gym, but I never really took it that seriously until I got out of college and started my own business. I got out of college and did 75 hard program, and that changed my life. But no, it's just kind of taken off from there. I go to the gym every single day. When I'm at the gym, it's just that hour of time that I have alone. I put my phone on do not disturb. I don't care, what's going on, unless it's just an absolute emergency. That is my time to humble myself every single day. And when I am in there, I come out of the gym every single day dripping in sweat. You can ask my fiance. She comes home is like, oh my God. But it's
Yeah,
just,
dude.
I have to get in there because I deal, and as you know too, you're a business owner. Any business owner can say this. I don't care what stage of business you're in. You deal with so much stuff on a daily basis. You've got 10 problems going on at one time. And when I can get into the gym and just, get rid of all that, put in my headphones, lock in, hit a run, hit the weights, whatever it is, just get in there and get after it. My mindset after leaving the gym is just like I'm thinking clear. I am just ready to freaking get the hell after it. And I don't care what's in my way, I'm going to destroy it. And that is just my mindset after I get out of the gym, dude. It just makes me feel so good, after having a great workout. So yeah, it's a
Oh,
big part of
dude.
my day.
And you're so right too. It's like every single business owner and go has 10, if not way more problems that they're dealing with. So why not do yourself a favor and like, yeah, give yourself that hour because you know it's good for you. And not only is it like good for yourself physically, like mentally, emotionally, everything. You just like sweat out those toxins. But then like what happens after, I think is what's the best. I mean, you are just dialed in, ready to run through whatever's coming your way, and you have a totally different perception on that situation that comes your way now. And so, do you typically work out at night or in the morning?
I usually break away. I mean, it all kind of depends on what I've got going on, but I mean, it's different every day. It's either morning or sometimes I'll go in the middle of the afternoon. But most times it's in the morning or in the evening time sometimes.
Yeah, just letting it rip. Absolutely love it. So yeah, 'cause you've kind of always been in the gym, you said. Do you have any advice for somebody that has never been in the gym, or somebody that I'll use even myself as an example, worked out quite a bit in high school, college not so much, here and there after college, and now I'm starting to get back into it 'cause I see the importance. Any advice for somebody like that as they're getting back in, like a certain frequency? One piece of advice I was just started using is putting my phone on the focus mode. And so the only thing that can come through is like if my wife calls three times in a row because then it's an emergency.
Right.
But everything else, like that's connected to my watch, like I don't get. So that's one of the strategies I use. But do you have anything that you'd recommend somebody just getting into the gym and wants to really better themselves?
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I'm no professional, weightlifter or
Dude, I
anything by
mean,
that means. I just
if you take one look at you look like a professional.
I don't know, man. I just get into the gym and I try to be the sweatiest person in the gym. That's just my mindset. I don't know. But no, it's just whether it's at the gym or, you can run around the block. I mean, you don't have to go to the gym. I mean, step outside, man. Get breathe some fresh air. Go for a walk. Get on a bike. Go fishing. Hell, go hunting. Do something that's gonna get you outside. That's gonna get you moving. That's not work, and give it all you got, man. I mean, that's what I do. I just get in there and give it all I got.
Yeah, I think that complete removal from business is really what it's all about, and especially getting outside. I mean, that can be so healthy to just remove yourself, get outside, and and get the heart rate up, get moving, get sweating. So, heard you mention hunting. You just finished up your bachelor party hog hunting in Texas. I got to hear more about it. I saw, you posted the picture on Instagram, so for people listening, go check it out. What was that like? I mean, I think other Luke Payne was hog hunting, or maybe they're about to do that, but I mean, you just go out in Texas, they kind of free rein, or like what is that
Well,
like?
yeah, we were talking about it a little bit, but so it was me and my that it was me and my six five or six buddies and my dad, and we were at some outfit in Fort Worth, Texas, and he set us up all in deer stands the first part of the morning over some feeders, and it was me and my one buddy in the deer stand, and then all my other buddies were elsewhere around the property in deer stands as well. I think I was the only one to shoot a hog out of the deer stand. And
Oh,
then
really?
an hour and a half or 2 hours went by, the hogs kind of quit moving. And the guide texted us and was like, "Hey, do you want me to come pick y'all up and we can kind of spot and stalk these things?" So he did. And at the ranch we were at, they had big wide open fields full of like ragweed and just real thick brush. I mean, kookaburras like you wouldn't believe. And the brush was like 4 foot tall everywhere. I mean,
Oh
it
my
was
gosh.
literally hell walking through it. But he was like, "If you guys want to kill hogs, you're gonna have to walk through this stuff." So he basically put us in a single file line going through a big field, and we're just pushing these hogs. And he goes, and we were talking earlier in the podcast, "You're gonna have to basically step on the hogs for them to get up." So the big hog that I shot that you'll see on my Instagram,
Yeah. And
I
we'll pop
came
up a
I'm not
picture
even
here for people watching on YouTube. We'll pop up a picture. So, the thing's massive.
but the big hog that I shot was in a group of like eight or nine other hogs with it. And I remember, I mean, I'm not kidding you, I was 3, 4 yards away, and I could see a pile of hogs laying right in front of me. And I remember looking at my buddies around me. I'm like, "You guys better get ready because I'm about to kick up a big group." And I took one step further and kind of kicked the weeds, and all them hogs got up at one time and started running. I just seen the biggest one and gave it a shot.
Oh
Yeah, it's
man.
pretty intimidating stuff. I mean, at any time, them hogs could turn around and come after you and tear you up pretty good. So.
Dude, what a great, if I think of like the perfect bachelor party, it's got to be something like that.
It was a blast.
Man, that's awesome. And then what did you guys do? So did you just hang out in Fort Worth the rest of the weekend?
We got down on Friday and kind of got set up and went out and on town in Fort Worth, a super cool city. I've never been there.
Yeah.
Had some beers with the boys and went hog hunting on Saturday and flew home Sunday morning. It was a good time.
Man, not too bad. And then obviously you got the big wedding coming up. Do you How was that when you like started the business? Like, how was, Lexi's trust in you running this business and starting it? Like, was that hard right away, or like, where, how did that all formulate?
She's been with me since day one, man.
Nice.
I think the day I started the business, she was right by my side. I think we just started dating at the time. We kind of knew each other in high school, hung around each other for a little bit, but I think as soon as we got out of college, we started dating, and that's when I started up my thing, obviously. But she's kind of known all along that I've wanted to do something like this. I think I remember having conversations with her back in the day about what I wanted to do, and it was always this. My mind has never veered off on going a different route. So yeah, she's been there since day one. She's a huge supporter. She supports the heck out of what I do. If I got to come home and work till 9, 10 o'clock at night, no problems. So I
Yeah.
love
No,
that.
dude.
I think in go ahead.
Yeah, it's such a massive help. I mean, 'cause entrepreneurship is tough enough already, but I can't imagine if your spouse or significant other is like doubting you or like starting to make comments, and like it would make it so much tougher. But to have that support, it just like it lets you do your thing and like lets you continue to go and grow this thing.
Absolutely. It's definitely a huge part of my business, and I hope one day she can be a part of it. That's the goal.
Man, that's a great talking point, actually. So what would that look like? How would you get there? Would she come in more like on the office side, or like where would her specialty be?
I haven't really figured that out yet. We've had several different conversations on what that would look like. But I don't know. I think, definitely more of the office side, maybe, HR helping me answer the phones a little bit, or
She
taking care of
could meet
office
with
stuff.
us, the marketing team, and we could take care of that. That would be great.
Absolutely. Just kind of taking some responsibility off of me in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't know yet because I've got some pretty big dreams and some pretty big aspirations with where I want to take this thing, and we're gonna at least give it a shot.
Yeah, dude,
So
I
we'll see.
absolutely. And that's, another kind of point I wanted to get into. So, we'll call it 4 years in. You are where you are today, but what does the next 5 to 10 years look like, and how do you get there? I mean, what is the big dream that you're looking to do with this thing?
Yeah, so like I said, I worked for a company in Colombia called Rost Incorporated, and I literally want to model the way that he set up his business. And I think what the 10, 15 year plan, I mean, I don't ever plan on to retire. I love going to
Yeah.
work. But I think the bigger goal, the bigger picture is to run big and run heavy, man. That's just the kind of guy that I am. I don't want to stay small. I want
Yeah.
to get big. I'll be, I'll put it out there. I want to eventually own some ground to where I can build a kick-ass shop on. I want to own a nursery, so that I have my own plant supply. I want to run an irrigation division. I want to run a landscape construction side of the business. But I think what that looks like is, hiring people and putting them in the right positions so that we can get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. I put my head down and go to work every day to strive for that goal one day, but we'll see, man.
Dude, and why not, right? It's like you're seeing the growth. It's exciting, it's fun, it's challenging. Why not continue to go for it and continue to build this thing? And it's funny too, because this podcast is just going to live on forever. So at some point, we're going to look back at this podcast and hear it and see where you're at, 4, 5, 10 years from now. So I love it. I think, why not? As long as you can do it As long as you can take calculated risks in your business, you
Right.
don't want to just take on all the debt in the world, become
Yep.
over leveraged, have one blip in the economy put you out, and you got to take these calculated risks. So, but it doesn't mean you can't run fast and run hard.
Yeah, you only get one shot at this life. So I think Trey Bodert says it. He's like, you only get one shot at this life. You might as well pop a wheelie and ride it out or something like that. Like, damn right, brother.
Damn
Might as well
right.
give it all
No,
you got.
yeah, Trevo's the man. I love it, dude. So the I wanted to go through this as well, and so obviously you're the owner. Your day-to-day has changed from January of this year to where you're at today. Like, what does your day-to-day look like now? And if somebody asks you, like, what do? What is your job? What would you tell them?
So what do I do? So I wake up every day at around 5 o'clock. It's usually 5 o'clock right up on the dot.
Do you
And I
use an
always give
alarm?
myself what?
Do you use an alarm or no alarm?
I use an alarm.
Okay.
I think it's 5:02 and 5:04, but I'm
There
usually up by
you
5:02.
go. There
But I allow myself one cup of Joe before I start my day. And in the morning time, if I've got emails to respond to or what have you, I'm responding to those emails. If I got, just a little bit of office work that I can knock out before I head to the shop in the morning, I'm doing that. But other than that, I'm heading to the shop. I'm getting the guys rolling, telling them what they need for the day. I'm helping them out. And then getting to the job site like we talked about, I'm laying the guys out, going through what needs to be done that day, what certain task and all that stuff. And then I'll have, a couple meetings throughout the day if we've got some leads coming in and hitting the gym. And then I get home from work and I'm working on, more office stuff from that 5 to 9 to 9:30 period. I'm home working every single day, working on designs, working on estimates. It's just kind of what you got to do when you're a small fish in a big pond. You got to outwork the bigger guy to stay busy.
Yeah, and then rinse and repeat. You get up and you do it again, and it's funny because it is so hard to do that and to work that much and that long if you don't enjoy a little bit of what you do, right? And I think you would learn quickly of, like, if you're in the wrong industry, but you have to have an appreciation for what you do, an appreciation for the quality, and just, the people you're working with and the money you're making and the lives you're changing as well. 'Cause now you have employees, and, like, it's not just your life that you're trying to improve or change or grow. You now have people depending on you as well, and the business as a whole.
Yep, absolutely. I've got, I look at it as like I work for them. They don't work for me kind of deal. They've got families, some of my employees have kids. They've got, food to put in, their mouths, put on the table. And it's my job as a business owner to make sure that, we've got, plenty of work lined up. And so that they can go to work and collect a paycheck every week. Because if you don't got work lined up for your guys and they ain't working, they ain't making money. And that's a no good situation.
Yeah, and you owe it to them, right? And you owe it to them to run a profitable business as well. So if you don't know your numbers and you're bidding everything wrong, you're really just doing them a disservice, because that's going to hurt the business, which is going to hurt them and their future employment, and also too, their future ability to make more money or to advance in the company, and what that looks like. I think it does. I don't see it a whole lot, but some businesses, like, you can't be scared to be profitable. You can't be scared to make money. And it's just a part of business. And also, when you work with certain clients and customers, like, they should also want you to make money, because the more money you make as a business, the more you can invest into your people, into your equipment, into your marketing and branding, into your education and your training and everything. So, as a business, the more The tighter the ship you can run, the more profitable you can be, the more you can then invest right back into the people that are working for you.
Absolutely, dude. You hit it on the nail there. 100%. And I'm up front with my guys. Like, they know, the type of jobs we're on, what that value is. And, I'll be totally up front with them. Like, hey, we're losing our butts here. We kind of got to get things done, sort of deal. Or, we're doing good. You guys are way ahead of schedule. And they get incentives all the time. It goes back to the, I work for them kind of deal. If you're not treating your guys right, they ain't gonna be around. Your guys come first, for sure. And I love the dudes that work for me. Hell, they're coming to my wedding, so
There you go. There you go.
yeah.
What, how transparent are you? Yeah, with the numbers. Like you said, they know the, we're ahead of schedule or behind schedule. Like, do you share the numbers and maybe when it comes to the quarters or the end of the year, or is it more of just like the specific project of like, here's when we need to get it done to make our margins?
Yeah, for sure. That's day one. Like, not only going through the scope of it, but where we're at on it, kind of what that figure is, and this is what we need to do to be profitable and hit that. And a lot of times, I'll give the guys some pretty good incentives on, being able to beat, that job or whatever, to earn that incentive. But yeah, no, I'm up front about most things on, the projects we're on for sure.
Yeah, how does it work if you get called back? Because obviously landscaping, hardscaping, I'm sure it happens. Like you get called back, there's a mistake. How does that typically work?
So, what do you mean?
Does that, I'm assuming, I guess maybe the question is, are there warranties? And how, like, if somebody calls back 3 months later, where is the line where you can say, like, yeah, it is what it is? Or you're like, yeah, we'll be right there and we'll fix it on our dime.
It de totally depends what it is. So, like, we do a lot of plant installs. So, we put a 1 year warranty on our plant material. If
Gotcha.
we finished a job, a month ago or 2 months ago, and a customer's already calling me saying, hey, you need to come out here and replace this plant immediately. It's like, I've given you a year on that tree. Yeah, I will come out and replace that plant. Absolutely. Now, is it going to be a right now thing? No. I'll save that for a rainy day or something.
Gotcha.
But if it's a major concern on a hardscape project or something or whatnot, yeah, we'll address that issue immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just because that's part of it too, is obviously the quality. And so yes, the team can get done quickly, but you need to minimize the callbacks that you're, bringing everything back onto site
Yeah.
and fixing those mistakes. So is it typically you that has the final like approval, stamp of approval, or is there somebody else within the company that says, yep, we're good to go, we're finished up here?
It's definitely me, for sure. Now I have kind of stepped away from that a little bit. I do have a foreman, his name is John. And I have a couple times on some projects been like, hey, when this job is complete, and if that homeowner is home, you need to go and close out that project. I think it's so important that when you are done on that project and it's your last day, you need to take your clients, whether it's you, a sales guy, whoever is dealing with that customer, to take your clients and walk them through that entire project while all your equipment is there, while all your trucks are there, while you've still got at least some guys there to help out. Because, you might think you're done with that project, but a customer is looking and inspecting everything on that project as well. So if they, nitpick something or they want something changed, well, you still got your trucks and equipment there. So what I'm saying is you need to close that project out before you move, to another job. just to make sure that customer is completely satisfied, before you get out of there. So
Yeah, and just like, yeah, tie a bow on it. Like, we're all looking good. We're about to leave. Let's go walk through it. They obviously asked for the 5-star Google review if that is if they like it. But
100%.
do they typically pay at that time as well, or when would they pay, like the second half of it?
Yep. So final payment is due on completion of your project. So as soon
Gotcha.
as we do our final walkthrough on that project, it's time to get paid.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's even to your point too, of like why you need to walk through, check everything. Okay, yep, closed it out. Let's get paid. Let's leave. Because to come back, it costs a whole lot more to, remobilize,
100%.
and you have another project you need to get to.
Yep, absolutely. That is the number there. I think there's three things in business, and it's one, it's you got to sell the job, sell the jobs. You got to have the jobs. Number two, it's getting the job done, doing the work. And three, it's getting paid.
Yeah.
And as a contractor, and especially being the business owner, you're always the last one to get paid, but I always think about it. It's like when I go buy materials from someplace, they want to get paid instantly. You buy that material, you're paying them. But you as the contractor, it could be, 10 days, or it could be a couple months, or it could be, whatever, before you're getting that final check. And so as soon as we're done, with that project, we're walking our customer through that, and if they're pleased and they're happy with it, I'm getting paid.
Yeah, that's it's especially as you get into like commercial work, and yeah, you have like a net 60 or net 90,
Right.
and it gets tough. And so when I talked, like a lot of our clients, they do a lot of residential work and commercial work, and they can kind of see both sides. Like commercial work is great, residential work is great, but there's also the bad sides of each. But one thing I always tell our clients is, don't overlook the high-end residential projects, because you usually get paid right away when you finish the job. And with commercial, it's not always that. And then you're dealing with a whole nother issue, which is cash flow. Because now you're out, like you said, you're paid for all the materials, but now you're out that money for 30, 60, sometimes 90 days. And you're already on like two more projects. And so and then of course you add in retainage fee, a retainage percentage, which makes it even more difficult. So I don't envy commercial work, or I should say I don't worship commercial work, like some people do. I think it's a great, great avenue to grow your business and to make a lot of money and have a lot of opportunity. But at the same time too, like I appreciate residential, especially high end, good customers that are willing to pay right when the job's completed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love working for people, man. Like, we just finished up a project today out in Lake St. Louis, and we had already got, like, the job was done. The homeowner, said, "Yeah, everything is great. I just got to run out to go get lunch with a buddy or something." So I came back to his house after everybody was gone, and I literally sat and talked to my customer for probably an hour and 15 minutes, just shooting the shit with him, just
That's awesome.
having a great conversation about life. And it was literally like the highlight of my day was being able to put a kick-ass project in the ground that my customer just thought was amazing, and being able to sit back and enjoy that project with him and just talk about life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great things about running a business is you meet some incredible people, man. And I love having awesome conversations with some great people.
Man, and good for you too for having that hour. You know what I mean? Of just like having that conversation and not feeling like you're rushed into the next meeting, which sometimes it happens, of course. You do
Yeah.
need to get to the next one, but that's the whole point of entrepreneurship, is to give yourself a little bit of time back and to do the things you want to do, and to meet these people, especially when they're your customers and you realize like this person just paid a lot of money for a company with my name on it to do this work that we are profiting from. Absolutely. And then you get to know them and you're like, man, this guy is awesome. And you're just talking about life, you're shooting the shit, you're enjoying this beautiful creation, and you're like, this is what it's all about. Like that is so cool. And like one of the amazing things about getting to work with customers, getting to work with clients, is that you get to know them as the human beings that they are, and that everyone is different. They have their own personalities and they have their own wants and needs, but you get to know them and you're like, man, we're not so different, you know,
Yeah,
you and me.
absolutely. And you get stuck in that mindset, while you're out, working for, that particular customer at that time. Everything you're talking about is on a business mindset level.
Yeah.
And sometimes you gotta just step back and, realize that, this person is probably not, is probably, I don't know how I'm wanting to say this, but we're probably really relatable in many ways that we live our life. Like you're so focused on business and getting the job done, and everything that you're talking to and communicating with that customer at that time is all about business, that you forget that they're an actual person as well.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to be able to step back and have a real conversation with somebody that just paid you good money to do a project, and connect with that person and realizing, that they're actually a human being as well too. So it's cool to have those moments.
That by far has been one of my favorite things of Phaser's growth and like how I've kind of pulled myself out of fulfillment and operations. Now I get to have these true relationships and conversations with our clients, but I just see them as good friends. And a lot of times, when you and I talk or myself or any of our clients talk, it's not talking about Google Analytics, or we're not talking about things like that. We're talking about life. We're talking about decisions, talking about like high level business stuff, but we're also just talking about like our hobbies and things that we're doing and different masterminds are joining, different books are reading and things like that. And so that has by far been my favorite to pull myself out of the weeds and really like get to know the people we're working with, because yeah, you get paid to do the service, but then also like we're both humans and we both have all these other aspirations. And yeah, I think you can build a really, really good book of business because you get to choose who you work with. And so you get to choose the attitude of the people that you're working with. And we all see the red flags coming up in the air beforehand, and we're like, we start to learn when we've made many mistakes who not to work with. And that takes years of experience, of course, which you and I are still going through. But it's really cool when you start to build this book of business and these people that you actually really like to be around.
100%. That's what's so cool with working with you, man, is I know you've got a million things going on in your life, but I feel like at any moment I could just, shoot you a text or shoot you a Snapchat just about life or, whatever it is. And, it's not about business. It's not,
Yeah.
it's just about life and, being a human being.
Yeah.
And you're with what you do and your team does and just everything about you, man, you got it going on, brother. And I really appreciate everything that you and your team does for me and my small business out of St. Louis. It means the world for real.
Dude. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, that's what it's all about, right? That's what we're talking about. Is these types of relationships and what we get to do and just the appreciation for both of our businesses, but the people that come with it. So, we work very hard to build our clientele to be like the people we want to work with. And like I said before, you were like the spitting image of who we want to be surrounded with and who we want to be known that we work with and all that. So I can't thank you enough for all that you do for us, obviously for being on the show. I think the stories, the insight, everything just gives all of our listeners like so much to go off of. But then just to continue to see like you live life past this and continue to grow the business and continue to grow your family is going to be so awesome to see. So with that, I mean, I have one last question. We got to go through this before we kind of wrap up, but the book recommendations, I think, ties into a lot of what we've talked about and a lot of what we value, but any books that you'd recommend to anyone listening? I know this is a newer thing we've been doing. A lot of people have been asking like for this to be a little bit of a segment, but if you could give like one book that you've read recently that you'd recommend to somebody, what would that be?
It would be, and again, we were talking before the podcast, I'm not a huge reader, but I just listened to an audio book of Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell.
So good.
Many people have heard of it, but incredible, incredible book. I'm going to listen to it again because I know there was some parts in there that I missed. But, I mean, he gives the blueprint on, you know, how to buy back your time in that book. So I recommend it to any business owner that's looking to kind of step away a little bit and put themselves into a little bit of a different role from where they're at. And so,
Dude, it's so good. And what I love about it is I think some people get a misconception when they hear that. They think it's like, oh, you're just going to go sit on a lawn chair and do nothing. But it's so cool how he like debunks all of those theories. He's like, I am helping you buy back your time from the things you don't like to do so that you can do more of what you like to do, which might be working, in the trench, in the field with your guys, which might be business finances. It might be spending more time with your spouse. Like whatever it is, that isn't the point. It's like to do less of what you don't want to be doing. That's not fulfilling you and it's not filling up your cup. And so what a mindset shift that book provides. Super excited for anyone listening to read that, or like you said, to listen to it on an audiobook. But it's Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell, and just a mindset shift that you'll go through as you listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, so good. Hunter, I feel like I could go on forever. We should probably wrap it up. So, dude, thank you so much. Thank you for being on the show and wanting to do this. So excited to continue to watch you grow this thing and to do it with you, and excited to get this episode out so everyone can hear it. Like I mentioned, you guys, go shoot him a follow, shoot him a message on Instagram. That's Eisenbath Landscapes, Eisenbath. And man, we're just excited for you and excited to keep watching you grow this thing.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you for the invite. I would have never thought a day would come where I would be invited to do a podcast, but here we are. I hope that, you know, anybody listening maybe picked up a little something from what I was talking about. I know I'm a little bit scattered brain and not the best, you know, speaker in the world, but here we are. But no, big thanks to you. Big shout out to you, man. Appreciate everything you do for me and my team and my fiance as well, man. We love you. So
dude, we love you too. And good luck in the wedding. Hopefully she says yes. And I do. And hopefully it all goes well. So
yes, sir.
We'll see you on the next one here. And wishing you all the best, man.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.